plug those headphones in. It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Katie.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, Adrian and Katie actually today, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. If you're in North County Dublin, why not pop by Portmarnock, visit the beach, one of the nicest beaches in the whole of Dublin. The Portmarnock Beach is well worth a visit on a nice day, and then pop into the White Sands Hotel, the Oasis Bar and Grill, have a bite to eat. You can have a sauna. Seriously, a sauna out the front of the hotel. I kid you not, it's all here. Everything's here. Carvery of the weekends in the Oasis Bar and Grill. So please do pop along to the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock. And when you're here, let them know that the lads from Opinions Matter sent you. So what do we want to talk about on this latest Opinions Matter podcast? Well, it's a voice message that came in to us earlier today. I want you to have a listen to this. Now, it's kind of difficult to hear, but you should be able to make out most of it. Have a listen to this.
Hey, lads, come here. If you talk about this, don't say my name. So I'm just walking back, sorry, I'm walking really fast, and I'm just shocked. And I'm after dropping the kids off the creche. I'm in Bray, and I have two young kids, and I'm shocked that there's a local woman here who's a total junkie. Used to see her, like, literally off her face, around, like, walking around the place, and outside cafes, and asking people for money, and, like, even seeing her, like, down her lane, taking piss once, and, like, they've employed her. Now, I believe she's in recovery, I don't know how long, but, like, that just does not sit right with me. Something like that to me is very unstable. I shouldn't be with kids. I can send you this, because, oh my god, like, my jaw hit the floor, like, talk about fucking being alarmed. Like, I'm genuinely shocked. I am all for, like, recovering junkies and addicts and all that, get the help they need, but not when it comes to kids. I don't think they should be around kids. And that was only, like, maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, days, you know, like that. So she's not long in recovery anyway, so just, can you talk about that? Like, I want to kick up a bit of fuss about it, but I don't know. I don't know what to say. Thanks.
All right. As I said, it's difficult enough to hear because, in part, she's in gale force winds. But anyhow, The bottom line is she found out today that an employee in the creche where her kids go is a recovering addict. She actually knows of the woman, saw her when she was an addict in a couple of years ago, and she's not happy that this woman is working in the creche.
Yeah, now for everyone saying, you know, oh, second chances, I do agree with second chances, absolutely, but put your parent hat on for a while. This woman, I was talking to her on the phone, the woman who actually contacted us, she said that she has seen this woman being thrown out of local shops for causing trouble. She has seen her urinate down alleyways in the area while she come back from a night out or whatever.
Okay, but that was back in the day when she was a drug addict.
No.
When she was an active user.
No, I know that. I know. But I have to, you would have a certain, I suppose, having seen that yourself firsthand with the same person who's minding your kids, you would have a bit of a, you know, oh God, I've seen this woman causing a lot of trouble. Now, I know people change, people turn their lives around, absolutely. And
so then what's the problem? She's a reformed drug addict.
There's no problem. And drug addicts and recovering drug addicts should be given every opportunity to turn their lives around and support and encourage. The only thing is that if I were a parent in a creche and I knew, if I were like this woman, I would want the creche to carry out urine samples to make sure she's not still on drugs.
No, she said she's not on drugs, so that's it. But, that should be enough.
Okay, but if she's not long in recovery, if she's not long in recovery and she has, you know, a long way to go, yeah, support.
Okay, if she's not a drug user anymore, if she is performing okay in work, then no, you want her drug tested. You want them taking urine samples.
I think it's a tough one, I get that
the woman who sent the message to us saw her being thrown out of shops and urinating up laneways and blah blah blah, but that was back in the day. That was when she was an active addict. Now she's not.
Well, so what's the problem? Lady on the phone, and she said it was only a year or within the last year or two.
doesn't matter.
No, I know. Look, I'm all. I support an addict turning their lives around. Absolutely. And I think it's great that the creche have given this woman a chance. She probably had a lot of doors slammed in her face to get there. And she's trying to better herself. But
then that's the end of the conversation, is it not? Until she fucks up, until she makes a mess. If she's able to do her job and she's...
If they know she's a recovering addict and they took her in, let's say maybe on some program to help her out or whatever, and she is working, we have to remember she's working, I was told, in the wobbler room, which is 1 year to 18 months. She's working with young children, I think.
But obviously it's a creche.
I'm not saying she shouldn't have a second chance. She should have a second chance, but I don't see the problem if the creche know that she is on the path to recovery just for the an extra peace of mind to take a urine sample to make sure she's not minding the kids when she's on drugs. I just don't think
how humiliating is that? You can have a job, but you have to piss into that jar every morning. No.
Not every morning. No, not every morning. No. And I know there's some jobs that do urine samples on people.
Okay, if this woman is clean, if this woman is off drugs and is getting on with her life, that should be the end of the matter unless she screws up in work.
It's a tough one. Like, I don't know. If my kids are in a creche and I don't know if the parents are even told. They're probably not. But if this woman has a tendency to hit hardcore drugs, then I suppose you would be concerned that would she do them when she's minding the kids?
And actually, Leslie makes a very valid point. To get that job, she would have been Garda vetted.
Yeah, I know. And Garda vetting doesn't protect from everything. Remember the creche exposés there a couple of years back? I mean, those people were Garda vetting, and look what they did to the kids. I mean, that was horrific.
Again, back in the day. This lady is a reformed drug addict. The creche obviously has enough confidence in her that they employed her. And now your woman who sent us the message is on a mad one because I don't even understand what her issue is.
If this
woman was an active drug user
she
today...
She says to me her issue is that this woman is unstable and that she has seen her in very, very unattractive states and very scary states. Like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You're walking
okay,
home.
So this lady doesn't want a drug addict, a reformed drug addict minding her children. That's what this comes down to.
This isn't just a reformed drug addict, though. She told me that she has seen this woman... She's seen this woman shooting up down alleyways. Like, I mean...
When she was an active user.
I know that, but that impression is hard to
get out of your head. No, I get that. I do understand
that. I'm not saying that, absolutely. I'm saying it's great they gave her a chance. And listen, someone who turns their life around like that, I have the utmost respect. That's like, Jesus Christ, it cannot be easy. And we've spoken to people before who have been in the situation and I commend them so much. I have so much respect. But when it comes to kids, I'm just saying sometimes if you've seen something... Really, somebody in a really bad way. It's hard, I suppose it's probably hard to forget that impression.
So you would like to see, at the very least, this woman being urine tested regularly to make sure she's still not using.
If she's in on a program, I think anything working with kids. If somebody's an addict, just like in a hospital, if you're working with kids, anywhere where you're working with kids, if you've had a history with hardcore drug and substance abuse, what's the harm in doing? For peace of mind for parents. Parents will say, cool, mind my kid, that's fine. Have you your second chance. But is it going to be in the back of their head? Is this woman possibly going to go home tonight and stick a needle in her arm and not be the fully there then tomorrow or on a come down or have mental health issues? I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate because if I saw somebody in as bad a state as it was explained to me today on the phone... It's a really tough one, but I think it's amazing that they've given her a second chance, and I hope more companies like that do take note and do the same. But it's just, I suppose, had the peace of mind for the parents as well.
Let's kick off this conversation with a message from John.
A junkie shouldn't be allowed to work anywhere near children. Once an addict, always an addict. Who knows what they'd go up to with the kids?
It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy, where your opinion matters.
Let's go to Yvonne. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Yvonne?
Good, now how are you?
Good, thanks, Yvonne. What did you want to say on this?
Firstly, we're not all, but there is the tendency, the addict is always going to be in us. I'm 2 years clean. Now, it was over-the-counter medication. I was addicted to Nurofen Plus, but I 100% agree with Katie in this. Like, that woman, you know, it's hard to get where she was, and fair play to her, that's where she is now. The urine sample, 100%, if she would have no problem doing that. She is trying to better herself now. I know I mind family members' kids now, and if anything, I mind them better than ever and go over the top with them to try and prove
the point that was made in that message that we just played was once an addict, always an addict, and the risk that that person could slip off the wagon again and whatever. What do you say to that?
Look, it's, they do say that once an addict, always an addict. Like, I still to this day, I am terrified that if even when I walk past a pharmacy, I get afraid that, say, the monkey in my head is going to say, oh, go on in there and buy a box. Like, it is always there. But when you're in recovery, you're trying so hard to prove yourself and regain the trust that you've lost. Because when you are in addiction, the stuff you do to get your next hit, to get the next box, like, it's crazy. Like, you aren't yourself.
And I understand all of that. But thankfully, this woman in question, and by the way, two people have messaged in to say that they know exactly who this woman is and they know exactly the crash that she works in. Mind you, none of them have said it's an issue. Is there a risk here, Yvonne, of a woman who's a reformed heroin user, by the way, who is now working with children? Is there a risk?
Personally, I don't think so, because I know the sense of kind of people not trusting her. You've obviously kind of lost a lot of trust when you are in addiction. You lose friends, you lose family members. You know, but when you're in that situation, you don't care. You will give them away. If it means that you're going to get your next hit without anyone kind of bothering you, you will do that. You don't care. But when you are in recovery, you will do whatever it takes to regain that trust, and you will go above and beyond.
That's what I was about to say. This woman could be the best crash worker because she's trying extra hard.
Yeah, she will be trying to prove herself more than anyone, that she will be the most cautious person in there, that she will go above and beyond for any single one of those children. And that's just what I do, so I can imagine that's what she'd do. Like, I know when I was in addiction, and for the first year or so, nobody came around me to say, oh, would you mind my child for an hour, or listen, would you keep an eye on? There was none of that. But now that I've kind of started regaining the trust, that is coming back, and I am minding children.
Do you mind me asking you, Yvonne, and look, I really appreciate your honesty, just a kind of just your personal story. You say you're addicted to over-the-counter medication.
Yeah.
How did that start? I'm always curious about stories like this.
I started when I was younger for period pain. I suffer extremely bad with that. And then it just kind of progressed. And then after I had my daughter, I got postnatal depression. And we had tried for years to have her. We were told we'd never have kids. When I got postnatal depression, to be honest, I was disgusted with myself. I did not speak about it. I wouldn't tell anyone, because how could I feel like this when I wanted a baby for so long, and now that I have a baby? Yeah. And to be honest, it gave me, well, what I thought. It gave me the energy. It was telling me I was a better mom, you know. It made me feel better. And it went from a pack of 12 to a pack of 24. And then towards the end, it was three packets of 24 a day, to be honest.
So would you go from chemist to chemist? Was this before kind of there were the restrictions in chemists? Would you just literally...
No, the restrictions were there.
Wow.
Yeah, the restrictions was there. Like, there's one pharmacy in particular where a few times I went in to twice a day, and the same woman would serve me. And, like, you know, you'd kind of get to know people's faces going in every day, because I would be.
And did they start to kind of pick up that this woman's in a lot and she's looking for the same things, or?
Some pharmacies would, but then other pharmacies, to be honest, no. Like, and it was pretty obvious, like, you know, my weight went, like, you know, I'd be handing over the money and my hands would be shaking. Wow. Do you know, like, it was pretty obvious when I looked
back. And if you have pain now, what do you do for pain relief? Because obviously, as somebody who...
Nothing. I will not touch a thing. I had my son last May, and I had to have a section, and it was done on paracetamol. I was too afraid.
Oh my God, you are incredible. That is some willpower.
It's just not worth the risk, to be honest.
Okay, so back to the point of this lady working in the creche. You don't see this as a big issue, but do you think that the creche should be asking this woman for urine samples? Should they be drug testing her?
I do feel the parents should, you know, should be told, you know, like I really do. I think, listen, she's doing her best now. She's fine. We do urine samples. Like, she's not going to have a problem giving a urine sample. Like, she is not going to have a problem. She's in recovery. She is going to only be delighted to hand over a urine sample because, again, it's kind of like, oh, I can do this now. Do you know, you're more inclined to kind of do the stuff and prove yourself. Again, it's all about proving yourself to people. Again, it's strange, but you do it. Do you know, like every pharmacy I walk past, I just go, oh, okay, well done.
Okay, very good.
Like that, but it actually helps. So I think, to be honest.
Okay, so if this woman is clean, even though the lady who sent us the message has, she saw her at the height of her addiction, she saw her doing very antisocial things while she was in the throes of her addiction. Does she just need to get that out of her head?
She needs to understand that. Thankfully, I didn't do anything like that. But, like, I did. Like, there was stuff I done that I look back now. And to be honest, I can't even believe that was even possible. Like, I was taking money off my partner and hiding it. Do you know, like, stuff like that. You do whatever you need to do to get... You're not thinking straight. It's not the actual person. It's the addiction that will make you go out and do whatever you need to do to get that next hit.
Okay,
you
know, stay there for a second, Yvonne, if you can, please. Okay. Yvonne believes that it actually could make this lady an even better creche worker because she's going to try extra hard.
I just think, I have to say, on a side note, I'm absolutely in awe of Yvonne. Mm. Like, one, it's not an easy thing to talk about something like that, especially when we're doing a scrutinised, let's be honest. People are being scrutinised for whatever. But you're a credit to your family, Yvonne. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you went through that with postnatal depression. And I'm glad to hear you're in a better place now, because that's what we need, more of people talking about it. So well done.
Let me go
100%.
To...
It's not talked about at all.
All right, very good. Let me go to Angela. You're on Opinions Matter, Angela. How are you?
I'm actually, I'm with Katie on this with Yvonne. I've those tears listening to her there, because well done you, you know, and you should be proud of yourself. Because I don't know you, and I'm damn proud of you, and well done, and keep it up. And
absolutely,
that's
yeah.
Not patronizing, that's, you know, it's amazing. To get back to this topic, the first thing I want to say is everyone online now going, oh, they were Garda Veton. Garda Veton has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Because she could have been the worst drug addict in Dublin, but never arrested for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So can we just go down that far? And to give you an example of that, when I was child minding above in Dublin, I was minding two kids, and they were in the creche in the morning. And I was minding them about a year when the creche owner said to me, listen, would you like to do a few hours here and there? Because, you know, they could have someone ring in sick. And, you know, would I be up for getting a phone call at 8 o'clock in the morning to come in and give a hand or cover holidays or something like that? Yeah, I was never Garda Veton going into that. Now, I had my Garda Veton, but they didn't know that. I was never Garda Veton going into that. So let's put all the Garda Veton, let everybody shut up for a while about Garda Veton.
Okay, but let's go back to the point of the conversation. And this woman is a little bit stressed by the fact that a former drug addict whom she was very familiar with when she was in the throes of her addiction is now working in the creche that her kids are going to, and she sees that as a risk. Is it?
Of course she does. And yeah, it is a risk. Because, like Yvonne, if she's still on the line, would nearly tell you, the temptation is there every day. It's the same with an alcoholic. And that's why I'm very proud, because it's been in recovery. And I know that from an ex of mine, because he's tried recovery and he never got through it. Being in recovery is a day-to-day thing. You know, it is day-to-day. You get up every morning and you have that willpower not to do it that day. But there is always that one thing, you know.
So, Angela, what would you say if you were a parent now going into the creche, would you want her removed from the facility?
I would want, and I'm along the lines of what Yvonne, I would want urine test done. And I'd happily leave her in there if she do urine test. And like that, I have always been on the line when it's going through security, when it's been pulled over by a guard. I have nothing to hide, so whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And if anything, if I was a recovering alcoholic or drug addict and they were like, can you prove it? I'd go, oh by God, I will. And I will prove all of you wrong. And that's what I would do. I would request that. And then I'd have no problem. But also, can I just say, it might sound a little bit hypocritical then on the other side. It depends on how long she's in recovery. Like, if she's only in recovery a couple of months, that's not good.
Okay, but according to the lady who left us the message, she's in recovery not any more than a year, basically, because she would have seen her just over a year ago at the height of her addiction.
Well, no, that's way too soon. Way too soon. Way too soon for anyone to be going into a job with kids.
What about with the urine sample, the clear urine sample, even then?
With the clear urine sample, see, that's what I'm saying. I'd be totally against this. But with a urine sample, if she can prove it, you know. But then again, actually, no urine sample, because anyone can do it. They're not trained to go in and watch someone take a pee. Do you know what I mean? It's not like drug tests on athletes and everything where they actually have to pee in front of them. That's humiliating. So no, I'd actually say no.
So you believe that this crash was wrong to employ this reformed drug addict?
Yeah, definitely. It's too soon. If it was 5 years, then yes, I'd say something.
Okay, stay there for a second, Angela. I'd love to hear from you on this. Our number is 085-825-2626. This is Dave.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering there, that girl that's on the phone there, she said that she was addicted to prescription medications like Nurofen, but like boxes of Nurofen. Just call me a bit stupid, like, but what's the story with boxes of Nurofen? How can you get addicted to something if you're not getting any sort of a buzz out of her end? You know, that's like if someone was addicted to cocaine, or they were addicted to alcohol, you know, or they were addicted to cannabis or something like that, they're getting something out of it. But what do you actually get out of being addicted to Nurofen? Just wondering.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
I think in answer to the voice note before the break, Dave, it is addiction, so you don't necessarily get anything out of it. For example, for many, many, many years, I was addicted to cigarettes. I was a nicotine addict. I got nothing out of smoking cigarettes, nothing whatsoever. I just smoked the bloody things because my body craved that particular substance, and that's why I kept smoking. I'm assuming it's the same with over-the-counter medication. You literally become addicted to it.
I have wondered this as well, because I understand with alcohol, there's a high, but I suppose that's a really good analogy with the cigarettes.
You get nothing out of a cigarette.
I have thought that before. It's like with alcohol, you get, obviously, you're in a bit, you lose your inhibitions, you relax, you loosen up. Same with weed or any drugs. But I have wondered that myself with
prescription medication.
I remember I was on prescription medication after the first issue with when I found out at gallstones. They put me on like Solpadol, which are stronger Solpadine, I think. And I was taking them, and like I could never imagine myself getting addicted, because other than pain relief, I'm like, what do you get out of it? But I suppose it's a dependency your body comes up with.
And it's say for example, codeine is a very addictive substance. Yeah. So that's where the problem is, and that's why
I think there is a discussion in another day about maybe over the counter pills be on prescription, because if they are that dangerous and there are that many people now who are to be concerned about on them, I don't know. It's
so in answer to that voice note, these certain medications contain certain ingredients like codeine that is highly addictive, just like nicotine is highly addictive in cigarettes. And I never got anything out of smoking
a
cigarette.
Apparently when you go to the States, they're like equivalent of medication over there. Like their night nurse would knock you out compared to ours. Their over-the-counter stuff are a lot stronger. So obviously their regulations aren't... Ireland is probably pretty strict then with regulations already.
We are very strict, yeah. All right, let me go to Lola. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Lola?
Hey, Lola. Hi, guy. Adrian. I think actually some of your comments are very good in regards to, just want to comment on one thing. Addiction, I've been through addiction myself. When the other guy, I think his name was John, said about codeine, it is where your body basically relies on something to keep it functioning. I've gone through addiction, I've gone through Merchant's Quay, I've gone through addiction programs. I run my own businesses, everything. I do not think there's anything wrong with that woman working in a crash. At all. I think if the parents have a problem, take it out. That woman's proved herself. She's come through. And mostly what I would say about people with addiction are probably the strongest people who have recovered. I'd say the management in the crash would absolutely not employ her if they thought anything went. She's obviously gone through a program. I have seen so many people. We have a place nearby where I live where it's like ex-drug addicts who are basically doing the most amazing stuff. And if they opened a crash, they've been in prisons, I will put my child in there with them, no problem, because they're perfect. They're lovely people. They've gone through hell and back. I think people who don't understand what addiction is like, it is hell. Nobody wants it in their life. Nobody.
I mean, when you say, Lola, that you've been through addiction.
Yeah, no, I've been through addiction. Yeah, I've been through alcohol addiction. I was in Merchants Quay. I went through that for 2 years. I recovered. My body was basically reliant on alcohol. And it wasn't that I was getting up to have a drink in the morning. It was that my body needed to have alcohol in my system by mils, like a heroin addict on morphine by day. Okay? I got through it. And I'm a good person. And, you know, people don't realise what addiction is like. It is not fun. It is not easy. I don't even get drunk. When I was doing it, it was just functioning. It's like what you said about cigarettes. You know, it was cutting down, and going on to a Librium program, you know, going to meetings and stuff, and then stepping out by myself. And it's made me a much stronger person. I've got 2 business degrees.
Do you mind me asking, Lola, what was your turnaround? Like, what was a point in your life where you said, right, I have to change, I have to stop this? What made you make that decision to turn your
life
around?
Because I knew my health was suffering. Because you will drink yourself to death. Like, you can't, like, alcohol and cigarettes, they're killers. You know, alcohol and heroin are actually the biggest killers. You can't just quit alcohol straight away, and you cannot quit heroin straight away. I've never taken heroin or drugs, okay? But I did get into stage when my daughter left home. I started drinking at night. I started my own business, and I didn't really have anyone in the house. So I started drinking a little bit more, and it just escalated. So the point was that I had to go and get help. And that's what I had to do. And there is help out there for everyone. But that doesn't mean if you fall into that category that, like, you're a bad person. You know, that person who's working at the crash maybe went through a really crap time. And maybe it's pulled himself away at crash is going to employ.
Okay, but to go back to the message that started this, the lady whose children are in a crash that this reformed drug addict is now working in, she saw that particular woman in very antisocial activities during her drug addiction, and she basically can't get that out of her head, I suppose.
Well, then she just needs to remove her kid from the crash if she's not happy. This woman has changed her life around. If this woman can't understand, like, she can't remove your kid. Simple. You know, I think this woman, even the way she talks on the phone, is like so frustrated, so erratic. She won't get her head around that this woman has actually gone through rehab. She's gone through the process. She's employed now. Jeez, you'd want to be thankful for that. Like, this.
Okay, so rather than raising concerns about this drug, reformed drug addict,
methadone.
The poor woman who we're talking about, if she's listening to this show, because she's gone through so much already and she's turned her life around.
Right, so rather than coming down on this woman, this lady should be praising her for turning her life around.
100%. Yeah. Like, 100%. Like, if anyone can do that, like, and you know what, and I'd hate to see it, like, I end up on anyone else's doorstep, because all the people that I can kind of hear have never gone through, or a family member with addiction. And if they see how hard it is and how hard it is for someone to turn their life around, they would be praising them.
Okay, so, rather than coming down on her, she should be praising this woman for literally turning her life around.
I would be praising. See, Lola's saying there a lot of people have ignorance towards it. What did I say to you before the show today? I would have regularly used the word junkie without a second thought. I would have. And recently, I met people that completely changed my thinking, and I heard stories from people that completely changed my thinking.
You're very right.
Very recently. So I'll hold my hands up and say I was a dickhead to call people junkies, and I never say sorry, and I'm apologising for using that word, because hearing real stories and seeing people heartbroken after losing their friends who they were in recovery with, and people who just, it's the demon they want to get away from, I was ashamed of myself for using that word. And I can tell you now, with my hand on my heart, I'll never use that word again. And I apologise for using that word on the show before.
I think you are so correct, and I really admire your statement because I think that's a really good thing to say. I have various friends that I've seen, acquaintances. I've seen a lot of shit when I went through recovery and people dying. And I've seen people come out the other side. And what you said there, I think, is absolutely amazing.
That's good. No, I really, and I said it to Adrian before the show today, it made me see the addict in a more human. And I think the problem is that, like me before, people don't see them. They hear the bad stories, they associate with bad things. But when you actually are sitting there in front of somebody who's crying because their best mate, he's made it through his recovery program and the best mate didn't, I mean, that's stop you in your track shit.
And I would have thought the same a few years ago, and I would have thought the exact same opinion until I saw it firsthand and experienced it.
Okay, stay there for a second, Lola, because I want to go to Trevor. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Trevor?
Evening, lads.
Well, Trevor, you've been listening to a number of calls saying that, and a lot of people saying, this woman working in the creche, everybody deserves a second chance. And rather than condemning this woman, rather than highlighting this as a negative, we should be praising this woman for turning her life around and working now in the creche.
No.
No. Just no. That's your answer.
Adrian, I have been touched by addiction. I've been touched by a loss. I'm not going to get into it. I have experience. So before anyone tries to pat me face, I've been there. I'm going to say this, in that circumstance, no person with that habit, with that past, should be working with children. It was my kids in the crash, they'd be whipped over there faster, and you could bloody say snowballs, chance and help.
And that's your way of encouraging and supporting somebody who is in recovery, take your children away from them.
At the end of the day, if someone's in recovery and they're fighting to get through a funeral, right? I've seen people go through it, I've seen people successful, and I've seen people fail. But when it comes to kids, no, sorry. No.
What's the issue here?
Second chances for any issue.
Okay, so anybody, in your opinion, anybody who was ever an addict should never work with children?
Any addiction, yeah.
No, any
children,
addiction?
Children's off limits. If you want to get a job in an office working with people their own age, no problem, happy days, off you go. When it comes to kids, nope. Let me just say one thing to you, right? It was the late, great Robin Williams, who was an addict, who said, all it takes is for you to be in the wrong mind space and for someone to go, hey, come here. And that's all it takes to get back on the horse.
And somebody's going to do that in the crash, are they?
No, but what happens when they go out in the crash, Kate?
Oh, look, I get the concern, I do, but Jesus Christ, like, do you know what it takes for somebody like Yvonne we were talking to earlier on, like Lola who's on the other line, not only to talk about what they've done, but to actually say, I need help.
Did you not hear what Yvonne told you?
What?
Did you not hear what Yvonne said to you? And I have number of respect for that girl. But at the end of the day, she said herself, she walks by any pharmacy and the temptation is there.
I'm sorry.
She walks by and she struggles to keep going.
She walks by.
And when you're talking about your children, your single most precious commodity on this planet, you don't take fucking risks.
But the point is,
sorry, Trevor. Again, your point is, anybody who has been through any sort of addiction should not be employed and cannot be trusted around children. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't. No, under no circumstances. When it comes to kids, no. And I don't see why I'm the only one on the fucking show saying this. Because at the end of the day, I have 5 kids, Agent. You've had kids. Katie has kids. They're your most precious commodity. You would kill.
I agree, but
you want somebody who all it takes is hate.
But Trevor, what I'm wondering is, what is your concern that somebody who's a reformed drug addict is suddenly on a Friday afternoon going to take a needle out and inject themselves in front of a load of kids? Is that what you're worried about?
No.
So what are you worried about?
That they might do it in the crash. My concern is that they could go home, they could do something in the middle of the night, early in the morning, go into the job, not be 100%. And then they take the eyes off the kids and have a little power nap or something like that, and pass out anything. All it takes is one shot.
You're talking about anybody who's been through any type of addiction. So, say for example, Lola.
Any type of addiction, yeah.
Lola, like Katie said,
this woman works in the, what was it called, the wobbly room?
Yeah, the wobbly room.
So that's the youngest. That's maybe the youngest in the creche. So they're the ones you really have to keep an eye on. You You have to be alert. So, no. Fucking hell, no. When it comes to kids, no.
Okay, but stay there for a second. Lola, what do you make of that attitude?
I think that is absolutely ridiculous. So, we have a place where I live. I'm not going to tell you. It's near Bray. We have a lot of ex-people who have been through rehab, and they run Catholic shops. We have a children's creche that are run by people who've been in prison, everything. It's a community centre, and it is fantastic. If you meet these guys, they're the cleanest guys ever. We trust them with everything. If I had kids, my kids are 20, I would have no problem with my child in the creche. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And you know, if you're that worried, a creche will know if someone's come in drinking or have taken drugs. Like, I'm sorry, but they will. And I'm sure that person with the management has kind of, they can make an agreement. But they're clean. They're guarded at it. That's fine.
Lola, have you heard of highly functioning addicts?
Yes, but they will, to be honest with you,
okay, hang on. Let me finish my question.
Go for it.
If you're a highly functioning addict, and I know one, and they go in on the stuff that they're on, and all it takes is them just to sit down and go, okay, just 30 seconds. Close their eyes.
Trevor, you believe once an addict, always an addict, and there is always that risk that that person could fall off the wagon.
Agent, I'm not the only one who says that. Your smoking habit, yeah?
Yes.
The ex-addicts I know that I've been working, they've been working over in Palestine. They've been working all over the world. They've been working with children everywhere. They don't touch a drop. They don't touch anything.
I was about to ask my smoking habits, which I smoked
for many, many, many years. I gave them up.
Many years.
Two and a half years ago.
Do you ever get the tingle? No, not anymore.
Even before the show today, I said to Katie, I genuinely, and I sincerely mean this, I don't miss cigarettes at all now.
No, and I asked Adrian when you're drinking, because that's when you think you would, and you don't.
No.
Not even, and then just on a separate note, Trevor, would you mind just for the duration of while you're on, could you not be such a patronising prick when you're asking people questions? It's the way you're speaking down to that woman on the other line. She's come a long way. I'm not speaking down to her. I'm not respectful.
At the end of the day, Katie, when it comes to children, that's where I draw the line. If she wants to work in a 9-to-5 job with adults, happy days.
Well, no, it's fine. Well, if they're approved, right. Have you ever heard of replacement therapy?
Yeah.
So replacement is basically for addicts. So basically, addicts that basically like even cigarettes, so you replace the cigarette with something else. It's like you replace alcohol with maybe like a fizzy drink. Okay, people can do this. It's a routine they put into their lifestyle. Okay, it's a place when you create dopamine in your brain. So dopamine is basically the addiction. So you replace it. There's so many supports out there, and so many people can get this. There is places like BCAT in Bray, which is brilliant, and they give you replacement therapy. There's places called Merchant's Quay, which is based in Bray and Greystones, and you get a counsellor. And they do replacement therapy. So every time that you want to have something, just say, I want to have a drink, I go to Aldi and I get like a fizzy bottle of peach drink, and that's my replacement. Or if I get a bottle of Ribena, I bring my dogs for a walk. You know, there's replacement therapy.
Lolly, you don't need to, listen, you don't need to explain yourself to Trevor. She's explaining the routines
that they go to, and I think
Trevor,
that's
God forbid any of your kids ever have a blip in life.
I have been through all of this, and I'm not saying anyone will. But would you not like to think that somebody would support them?
His argument is...
I don't believe children should be around in that environment.
He's not saying
when they want to work in a 9-to-5 job, happy days, fully support them.
How is that a bad thing? No, no. I get the concern. I get a parent's concern. But I wouldn't try and have somebody, you know, put out for it. I'd maybe urine samples just to make sure everything is okay. But I'd give them a chance. Would you go up banging down the door if your children are in the creche demanding that they remove this woman from the facility?
Well, I'd remove my children until the person was removed. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I would.
Okay, do me a favour, Trevor. Stay there for 1 second if you can, please. Our number is 085-825-2626. You can send us a WhatsApp or a WhatsApp voice note like Jonathan just did.
Well, lads, how are we getting on today? Very good topic, actually. Look, I believe in second chances. If this girl has sorted herself out and she's gone through her recovery and she's taken all the steps needed to get herself out of that horrible thing that is addiction, I don't see a problem with it. We're screaming out at the minute we haven't got enough childcare facilities open, we can't staff them, it's too expensive, blah, blah, blah. If the girl has sorted herself out and she's in recovery and she's doing well, I think using it as an excuse to let her go from the childcare place would be a way back into addiction for my mind. She's trying her best, she's gotten now, she's clean. If she's working with children, I'm sure she's sound as a bell. No, I don't see the problem with this at all. Great topic. Well done, boys.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
So we're talking about a message that we got earlier on from a woman in Bray who is concerned that the creche that her children go to is employing a reformed drug addict. A woman that this particular lady saw in the depths of her addiction, behaving in various antisocial ways that drug addicts regularly do, and she can't get that thought out of her head, and she doesn't feel, it doesn't sit well with her, is what she said, that this woman is working in the wobbler's room in a creche. Now, she didn't necessarily say she wants her rid of her, but she wanted us to discuss it.
No, she told me on the phone she wants her out.
And is she going to report it to the creche? Has she said it to the creche?
She reckons they might already know, but she told me she's going to go to the manager and basically say, get her out or you're going to have a very bad reputation on your hands. Nobody's going to want to have their kids, I think was what she said, with the junkie woman. That was her exact words.
Lorraine, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Lorraine?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Lorraine, you've been hearing Trevor. He's arguing that no reformed addict, regardless of substance, should be working with children because I suppose he's basically saying they can't be trusted.
That woman has gone through the depths of hell to get out of her addiction and has for the crash. She's not left on her own with the kids. Like, there's other people there. Like, I'm sure she's not left on her own to mind the kids. There's other people there. She has gone through the depths of her addiction. She's a recovering addict. Like, second chances. What are we going to do? Just tell them all not to work? Like,
no, Trevor's not saying she shouldn't work. Trevor's basically saying she just shouldn't work with children. End of.
But why? She has proved herself. She's proved she's clean. She has proved she has that she's gone through her program. She has proved herself that she is clean. As I said, she's not left alone in a creche. There's always two people in a room for the ratio with kids. So what's the issue?
And if one kid gets sick, one adult has to take that child out of the room. Therefore, that other person is left alone with the child.
So what, within the two or three minutes that woman has taken that child out and telling the sick, that woman's got to do
something? What if it's longer than 2 or 3 minutes? I'm not saying she's going to do something to the kids.
What's she going to do in the creche, in all fairness to her, Trevor? She's not left alone. Like, there's people in that
building. All it takes is a minute to take away off children. That's all I'm saying.
How do you know, Trevor, if you're getting on a plane, that the pilot isn't an ex-addict? Or recovering addict. How do you know a bus driver?
Well, now, in fairness, pilots are randomly drug tested very frequently.
Jeremy, you're back. How are you?
Bus driver.
They're drug tested as well. Yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then how do you know? Are doctors drug tested?
I don't know.
How do you know your doctor that you bring your child to isn't on drugs? How do you know that they're not taking?
I don't know that, Kate. But if I found out, I'd be taking the child elsewhere. Where the fuck is the line here? You know what I mean?
The line is
everyone deserves
not doing drugs while you're minding kids. But
I did not say they don't deserve a second chance. Where the fuck is this getting lost in translation?
In fairness, he didn't say that. He said they deserve a job. They deserve
angry man,
but just not with children.
You're not listening,
okay,
Kate.
Lorraine,
and you're a mother.
Lorraine, let's just deal with that. Yes, of course they deserve a job if they're trying to rebuild their lives, just not with children.
But she's proved herself. She's went through a program. She has proved herself. Like, she hasn't done drugs and has that message said in about 2 years. What more does she have to do? Does she want you to piss in front of her? She said a year or 2 years. So what does she have to do?
She has nothing to do. I'm still not going to change my mind when it comes to my children. And anybody that would allow it, I'm sorry. I don't see what the hell you're getting out of it.
I think it's wrong. It wouldn't bother me if my kids were in that crash. The woman has proved herself. She's gone through a program. She's gone through the depths of hell to get herself clean. And all she now, she's working, providing for herself. No, I just think second chances. I just think no. I wouldn't bother me.
And I'm all for second chances, but as I said, your children are your most precious commodity on this planet, and you should not risk any. And I'm sorry, that's a risk I ain't taking.
Well, that's you. I wouldn't bother me if it wouldn't bother me.
Well, that's
she
you.
Herself.
What if something happened? You know what I mean? I'm not taking that time.
As I said, she's not alone in the crash with the kids. There's other people in that building.
Could be.
She's not babysitting the kids on her own on a one-on-one basis. They're in a crash.
And the bottom line is,
how
Lorraine,
far away are the other rooms? How far away are the other rooms? You know what I mean? These are questions you have to ask.
Okay, Lorraine, you believe that this woman, a reformed addict, needs to be given that chance, needs to be trusted until, God forbid, she screws up.
Who's to say she's going to screw up, though?
No, that's what I said, God forbid.
Yeah, that's what I said. I just think she deserves. Yes, it's going to take a hell of a lot to build up trust, and she's trying her best. She is trying her best. She has gone, as I said, through addiction.
And you don't believe, Lorraine, that a reformed drug addict is any more risk to children than anybody else?
No, absolutely not.
All right, Lorraine, thank you very much indeed for your call, and Trevor, thank you for your call as well. Like Casey said, you know, we can understand to an extent a parent's concern, especially if she was familiar with this woman while she was an addict and saw the antisocial behaviour that she may have been involved in when she was an addict. And that is something that is difficult enough to get out of your head, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know? But I think the majority of our callers today are saying, no, she deserves a chance.
Yeah.
She deserves...
the majority of people aren't assholes. I think she deserves a chance. But I think if it gives parents peace of mind, because I do get what Trevor's saying as well, a parent's concern... do the urine sample. Chances are she's probably happy to do it to prove everybody wrong. Or prove anybody, the naysayers wrong, Adrian.
The naysayers.
And fair play to her for getting her shit together and turning her life around, you know.
Thank you very much indeed for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Katie. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit subscribe or follow. Click on the little bell icon on Spotify, and that way you'll get a notification each and every time we upload a new episode. And we upload a new episode most weekday afternoons before tea time. Thank you for listening. I'm Adrian. That's Katie. And thanks for being with us for the week, Katie. And we'll see you soon. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
I'll be back tomorrow, even though you're not here.
Bye bye.
Oh.